Iowa Contemporary Art presents
Icon Art Radio.
Welcome to our new program, Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple, your host, and Bill Teeple is the director of Iowa Contemporary Art, which we know here as Icon. And Icon is a nonprofit organization in Fairfield that's devoted to expanding art awareness in Fairfield and the region. Now, this show will be devoted to helping us understand what art is all about and the role it plays in society. We're going to do that by interviewing some of the artistic talents and creative people in Fairfield and the region. My co-hosts are Donna Colby and Alan Cobb. Donna Colby is an artist and a writer. She's one of the more creative people that I know. She's a graduate of RISD, which is the Rhode Island School of Design, which is one of the main art schools in the country. But I most know her for being the host of the most popular radio show that I think has ever been produced in Fairfield, and that's As Time Goes By. Alan Cobb is the president of the board of Iowa Contemporary Art. I characterize him as the Renaissance man of the 21st century. He's a writer and an art visual artist, a musician. More specifically, he's a sculptor of sound space. He's a scientific thinker. He's a technician. He's a computer programmer. He's been in the corporate world, a little bit of everything, and he's been a comfortable, creative person in all of those roles. So I am very much looking forward to the coming weeks and months of this show and the discussions we'll have and the interviews we'll be able to have with some of the creative people in Fairfield. Today, the person that we will be interviewing will be myself. And I'll let you guys take over. I'm now the interviewee and you're the interviewers.
Well, I have a question that kind of goes way back to the beginning. Being a writer, I really like to research and I like anecdotes and backstory. So I know you've had a vision for Icon, but you must have had a vision long ago about art as a way of life. So can you remember, what's your earliest memory of when you wanted to be an artist and what you thought art was?
Well, let's just say that Icon is a particular point in time and space. It has to do with my process as an adventurer in the realm of art. I didn't think of myself as an artist as a young person. It was only when I really, because it was just an aspect of my life, when I got to be a senior in high school and I was winning all of the art awards, that was the first time I realized that I was actually maybe okay at art. It was just a matter-of-fact part of my life. So I can remember, sitting in my father's business, he was in the nursery business. And I picked up a little arrangement. This was like a floral arrangement, which they sold there, of flowers, and put it on a manure bag and sat there with my little watercolors, and I watercolored this thing. And so I was an artist I was probably an artist before that, but I was very self-consciously an artist at 8 years old. And I remember that as though it was yesterday. It could very well have just been yesterday. So I really feel like I launched at that moment into being an artist. And so I was there painting pictures and drawing and stuff while all the other guys were working on cars and that kind of thing. I was an athlete, but I was not, I was doing all these creative things. I was involved with music also. So the arts were just a matter-of-fact part of my life. And it's very interesting because my parents were not art people. A lot of people get launched into the art world because their parents are writers or theater people or artists or pave the way. But my parents were just very suburban, everyday people who watched Bonanza and on the television and the usual shows, and no input. So it was something that was inside me that I had to find my way in. So I've been finding my way all along as to my artistic life and what it is to be an artist. And I would say that the process that most intrigues me is this discovery of what it is to be an artist. But when I came back to town 8 years ago, I came on the note of diving in once again, because I'd been doing some other things, to the art world. Because I'd kind of like, in a way, written the art world off as kind of on a dead end. So I was out in the world practicing the integration of the aesthetic life and the utilitarian life. I was trying to blend those things together into one whole. After a while, I had to admit that I was still in love with this thing called the art world. I was still going out to galleries and looking at these commodities called art. And I came back ready to launch again in the art world. And the main instruction that I felt inside was that I was going to be myself in the midst of the art world and see what happened. And I thought it meant starting to make art again and put it in galleries and do that kind of thing. But what happened is someone handed me, it was Lynn Marshall, had been teaching art group classes here in town, and she was ready to go off to North Carolina. So she sort of handed it all over to me, sort of sent her students in my direction. And then suddenly overnight, I had been doing some teaching one-on-one and mentoring and stuff on the West Coast. But this is where I was just handed a whole teaching program, and now I was an art teacher. But I'll tell you, she had been teaching drawing on the right-hand side of the brain, and it's a very wonderful program for teaching drawing. But anybody can do that, and anybody can teach art and teach people how to draw and paint. But I felt this inner injunction to do what the beginning of this little monologue started out to talk about. And that was what it was to be an artist.
While you were talking, I was reminded of a story that you told me one time about I think you called it a garden studio, yeah, or something like that.
I love the openness of wondering what it is to be an artist, not just knowing what it is, painting a picture that looks like that, or music that sounds like that, and you repeat what's been done all along, but this, what it is that the artist is doing for society, and what it is to be an artist, and what society would be like without artists. I came on this note of this vision that was in my head for this thing that I called the garden studio. And I had thought that I could teach, I wasn't even thinking of teaching, I could do my thing for the art world the best by just sitting in the middle of a compound that I created that just flowed with my love of life. But by creating a world around me that celebrated that, I was being an artist, you see. Because being an artist is someone who is actively attempting to share their passion and their love of the world and their love of the sensuous nature of the world with other people and making a connection. So the garden studio I visualized as a place where I could have a studio to work in. I could play both with gardening and with visual art or anything that moved me to express myself, and have a personal museum. Because I felt that I could drive home every little love and every little element of my artistic inner life with people if I could have jurisdiction over how it's made, the state I'm in when I'm making it, the state that I create for the people that come into the environment so that their awareness is prepared to get it, and then have some kind of communion take place around my love. Mm. Well, that's the garden studio.
That sounds great.
And Icon, as it exists today, is a step in that direction. It hasn't got all that way because I ended up creating a gallery and an art space that was pretty much formed in the manner of the spaces we expect to see art in. And around that has grown up the art walk and a lot of the art activities in Fairfield, but it's a step along the way. This other is like a mythic ideal, but see, I'm always going for trying to manifest the mythic ideal, and I think that's what artists do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's particularly interesting to look at how Icon emerged from this particular notion of a garden studio that kind of radiates its influence into the surrounding community and world. Because there's a very important distinction between art and an artist. And that distinction, of course, is on the most basic level that art is something that has happened. And an artist is something that hasn't finished happening. And the importance of art in the world has a lot to do with the way the artist himself relates to the world around him. Now, you see art as something that is for the world. I think a lot of people look at art that they're not familiar with, and then they say, well, this isn't for me. I don't know. I wouldn't even call it art, or it's pretty, but so what? They don't have any idea of what the artist is up to. And it's really when you begin to develop some kind of rapport with artists in general that you begin to appreciate what art is. One of the things that Bill brings to the table in a community is his love of the artist in people. And I think I raise this because it's a central theme of what I imagine this program to be in the weeks to come, that really Iowa contemporary art is the people who live in contemporary Iowa. And there's an artist in every single one of them. And some of us, you know, bake cakes. Some of us organize companies. Some of us write music. Some of us paint paintings or build sculptures. Some of us just live our lives artistically. And that really raises the question of what then do we mean by artistically? What's the difference between simply doing something and doing something as an artist, or doing something artistically, or doing something that results in art? I guess I'm asking you to define art, which is probably a fruitless
challenge. Well, I think this is our quest through the months and years before us. But I think I've been doing this, attempting to define this my whole artistic life from 8 years old, when I consciously knew I was making art rather than doing what kindergartners do. Yeah. From that point on, I was trying to find the quest. And in fact, I've been fanatical about finding art as I was very fanatical at one point, to the point of demanding of others that they be on board with me in this quest as an artist, of art as a quest for truth. Some ultimate truth was at the end game of this pursuit that I was on. And I wasn't satisfied with it just being, say, decoration, that it had to be an active pursuit of truth through one's art. And I think as I go on in the years of being an artist and on the quest of what is art, it gets vaguer. I mean, it gets less clear to me what it is, and yet it gets to be more all-inclusive. So I love what you say, that Iowa contemporary art is all of those love acts performed by every citizen of the state, if we're talking about Iowa contemporary art.
Yeah.
And so, in a way, each person has to come to terms himself, I think, with what his art is. Mm-hmm. And where it's art and where it's not. I mean, this film we saw the other night raised some really lovely questions along this line. This artist, Richard Tuttle, is a very famous artist today. He tries to define it through his art practice. Where is it nothing and where is it something?
Yeah.
You know, where is art happening? Where isn't it happening? He tries to find that point in between.
Yeah.
And what we find is that that point is the magic point, because that is life itself exists there.
Yeah.
And that is what it's all about.
Yeah. In a sense, you're saying that life is the difference, art is the difference between doing something as an automaton and doing something with some awareness.
Right.
And creating transformation. Like, I was not familiar with Richard Tuttle until I saw this film. And the person that he reminded me most of was my son, Dane, who's been doing, you know, a similar kind of thing of interacting with objects. Even, you know, Richard Tuttle said he made a piece of art out of a piece of bubble wrap. He had like scraps of cardboard, bits of wood. And there's something beautiful, I think, in the process you were just talking about living life as an artist, where you're awake to the potential of objects and colors and forms around you, and you turn them into something else. You create a transformation. So there's transformation of yourself personally as a creator of things or sounds or whatever. And then there's the cultural transformation that takes place through art and through an organization like ICON. How do you see the culture of Fairfield changing, how it's changed already since ICON came to birth?
Well, I think that Fairfield has always had great potential as a creative ground and a field of transformation. Transformation is the relative side of life. We're always transforming. Conscious transformation, we're starting to move into the realm of the artist. I mean, a person can be a chef and be making extremely wonderful dinners and not think of himself as an artist, and yet I think he is conscious that his dinner is transforming, forming those in his environment with this wonderful feast he's preparing that night. So it's not that you're consciously so much calling yourself an artist or thinking of yourself an artist, but conscious transformation is, I think, what it's all about. And Fairfield has been a focal point of conscious transformation for about 35 years now.
Would you consider a person, you know, adjusting his 793rd carburetor to be performing a creative act? Or is it possible for there to be acts which have no creative...
Well, that's Richard. That's the line that Richard Tuttle was trying to locate. And he was having trouble locating, only he could feel the difference between it happening and not happening.
Yeah.
And I think that with the carburetors, we could just say that everything is art and everything that everybody does is art, and isn't that wonderful?
and useless.
But I think that there is a person could be doing his 703rd or 7,000th carburetor, and it would be art. And there's another guy who's doing his 7,000th carburetor, and it's just another ho-hum day.
Yeah.
And there's not transformation for him or for the world in that act. Mm-hmm. But I personally know one person who I was talking to the other night for whom carburetor adjusting is a work of art. Is art.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So in a sense, and I guess I'm playing devil's advocate here, in a sense, the transformation may not be visible to a third party.
It's usually in the life of the person who's doing the... If this person, you know, if the feet, you know, that this awkward, squeezed, uncomfortable, drive us most of us insane, reaching up into the engine and then feeling the surface of the carburetor, and it's this greasy surface or whatever, but it's so flat and beautiful. And he just is in love with that shape. Mm-hmm. And he's not even thinking about this. It's just part of his life.
Yeah.
This man is an artist. Mm-hmm. And when he puts the two pieces together, and there's the little gasket, and there's the quality, that quirky quality of the gasket. I mean, the guy is in heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, this is that thing that we can create heaven on earth, because it's all in how we're feeling about it.
It's already mm-hmm. here, and we can enjoy it or not.
Exactly. Yeah. And which brings up another element in the Richard Tuttle film. And for some reason, I've been having experiences of this recently, and it's so non-anything that you don't want to talk about it, but it's like everything. It's like just rightness. And he was describing in the film that when he was looking out the window waiting for his brother to come home, he was young, and all of a sudden, everything was perfect. Everything was just right. And nothing was different, but everything in a way, it wasn't like that the Lord came down and delivered him his crown and he was going to sit on the right-hand side of the Lord forever. But nothing like that. It was like everything as it was perfect. And there's something about not being here nor there or stuck forward or stuck back, but that the all-time reality is perfect now as it is and will never ever be this way again. But it's just as it is now and it's perfect. And if we can, and I think that this kind of like perfect equilibrium is another way to talk about what an artist is attempting to achieve in his work.
What you're just talking about, all of a sudden I saw the connection between that and what you just said about transformation being invisible, and then how transformation can be a group experience, because exactly what you were just describing to me happened at the mask making workshop on Saturday at ICON. People of all ages were working together creating these masks out of a variety of materials, and I felt that that exact thing you were just describing of just rightness was felt by the whole group in that event. And it was very magical. And everybody wanted to keep it going. People were saying at the end, when they started thinking this is the last one of these workshops, popping up all over to Bill was the question, can we keep doing this, please? It was wonderful because that was all of these things coming together, the individual creativity, the desire for some kind of social transformation through art, and everybody just spontaneously tuning into that feeling of just rightness that you just talked about.
I think this also addresses the larger, seemingly impenetrable question of how does art really benefit society? Because that experience that you and I'm sure a number of other people were having can lead to an understanding of what it is that you need to take with you out of that workshop into the rest of the world, into the restaurant, into the gas station, into your job, and so forth. That feeling of rightness and of doing something now that, although physically it's mundane, I'm just putting paint on a piece of cardboard, nevertheless, it's something special. Everything we do can be that special. It's just a question of how we look at it. If we look at it in terms of what we should have been doing or what we'll have to do next, then we take ourselves out of what we're doing and live in you know, either the distorted, you know, mirror of the past or the almost ridiculous, you know, cartoon projection of the future. And the only thing that's real is what's happening right now. And I think in a way that's part of what happens to me anyway as an artist when I'm creating something. I have to respond to what's happening now, but I have to have some sort of intention that involves where I'm going in the future. And I have to draw upon skill and experience that all comes from the past, or seems to anyway. And so the creative process kind of, although it involves the past and the future, it pulls them right together into the present and makes, gives life an immediacy. And so perhaps that's an element of the answer to my sort of semi-facetious question earlier about, you know, what is the difference between an act that's just doing something and isn't artistic and an act that is artistic. It's got something to do with the attitude, the awareness, but perhaps the bottom line is it has to do with immediacy, whether the action really is being performed by the person in the present or whether the person is gone and the body is just following through on some momentum that got established at another time.
So this magical kind of immediacy that you just described, do you think that is something that can be learned or taught? Is that something where ICON can play a role in awakening that in people?
Well, I think that is ICON's role. Yeah. If ICON takes on these more prosaic sort of like expressions that we associate more with an arts organization in a small town, that's fine. Those are its surface characteristics. But that is really what I'm all about and what I've tried to make ICON be all about. And that's making, remember I said what I wanted to do was to teach people what it is to be an artist. Now, I've been in the process of doing this, defining what it is to be an artist, but I have this intuitive sort of like understanding, having been one and seen, been in the art world so long, that that it's, it can't, that is my desire. And this is what we want to do. And this is what we want to do in Fairfield. And this is why I think if this is the main focus of ICON, we can have transformation here that is expanding rapidly, much more than other places. Because a lot of other places, I mean, there's a lot of creativity, a lot of great intelligence, a lot of talent, a lot of craftsmanship in New York City and in Los Angeles and places like that. But there's, it's a little hard to see the forest for the trees in those places because the issues of the art world start to dominate an innocent pursuit, which is, I believe, what we're attempting to do here, the innocent pursuit of life itself and art itself and the art of living. And I believe that and this we can have a whole other show about, what is art in the 21st century going to be all about? I think that this characteristic will be what we will be finding as the mark of the art of the New Age. Because never in a New Age is the art what you expect it. So I think that these qualities we're discussing today are those qualities that will be the qualities of the new art.
Listening to ICON Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.